Now, Wisconsin's partial election recount continues in Milwaukee and Dane counties. It got underway last Friday, and election officials said the process started off slowly after a steady stream of objections from observers with the Trump campaign. In Milwaukee County, County Clerk George Christensen reminded observers to raise their concerns through the proper channels. Here's a listen.
Please refrain from asking questions to the station tabulators, as you were instructed previously. If you continue to do so, you will be asked to leave.
Since then, Christensen says the process has started to move more smoothly. That was echoed by Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald earlier this week.
The objections are clearly into predictable categories around the witness signature, witness address, voter signature, initials of the clerk. So we're able to kind of get through those objections quicker.
Yesterday afternoon, a conservative group filed a lawsuit against the Wisconsin Elections Commission, asking the state Supreme Court to dismiss the election results entirely and let the state legislature pick electors on its own. And today, President Trump told a group of Pennsylvania lawmakers that voting was rigged and, quote, this election has to be turned around. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the recount here, the partial recount here in Wisconsin, the Trump campaign filing for that? What do you think about the lawsuit filed yesterday that would toss out Wisconsin's election results altogether? Call in at 800-642-1234 or join in with your questions about election law and how it all works. 800-642-1234 is the number, or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Yablon is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School and an expert on election law. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here. Looking forward to an all Rob chat.
It's nothing but Robs. Well, non-Robs can call in, though. We'll allow that this time. Now, what is your take, Rob, on how this partial recount is playing out so far?
You know, it's moving along, and it looks like both counties, Milwaukee County and Dane County, aren't going to have any trouble meeting the state's deadline for certifying the results, which is Tuesday. I mean, the county clerks that we just heard from indicated that there have been some hiccups along the way. The process is also made more challenging by the, you know, the need to maintain social distancing and other pandemic related safety measures. So far it's been relatively smooth. We haven't seen any significant change in the vote tallies at all. There's no indication that we will.
The objections being made here don't seem to be following the lines of individual cases of fraud or lots of individual ballots that are suspicious in any way. There have been some changes, not huge, but broad categories based on how election law in Wisconsin was implemented. Can you talk about the objections raised by the Trump campaign, rejected by county election officials, and probably going to make an appearance in our courts pretty soon?
Right. So, I think you're referring to kind of the big picture objections that were made in the recount petition and have been made on the ground in these counties to whole categories of votes and whether they should be counted. And so that is involving issues like whether the counties should throw out all of the absentee ballots in which a clerk filled in some of the address details on the envelope. And, the Trump campaign here is arguing that that violates state law, although it's been the practice in Wisconsin for quite a while and has not been challenged. So, you know, that is one of the categorical objections that's being made. There is an objection to whether those who voted early properly made an absentee ballot request, as Wisconsin law requires. Again, this isn't a novel new practice for this election. It's also not something specific to Dane or Milwaukee counties. It's happened all over the state, but that's the objection. And then there are some concerns being raised about people who might have classified themselves as indefinitely confined. And if you're an absentee voter who is so designated, you don't have to comply with the normal voter ID requirements. And so there are some issues raised with respect to that as well.
Yeah, President Trump had tweeted about Wisconsin in particular, quoting, "In Wisconsin, somebody has to be indefinitely confined in order to vote absentee. In the past, there were 20,000 people. This past election, there were 120,000, and Republicans were locked out of the vote counting process." Now, none of that is true. In Wisconsin, first of all, you don't have to be indefinitely confined in order to vote absentee, right?
That's right. I mean, we have what's called no excuse absentee balloting in Wisconsin. If you're an eligible voter in the state, you are eligible to vote absentee. The only difference that the indefinitely confined designation makes is it does allow you to become exempt from the standard voter ID requirement.
And the numbers he gave were wrong, but there was an increase in absentee voting. There was also an increase in people making that indefinitely confined claim to not have to do some of that witness requirement. But the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did an analysis. The proportion of people making that claim of indefinite confined went down as a proportion of absentee ballots. So what do you make of the change there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I've seen the same numbers. I guess it's no surprise that when you have almost 10 times as many people voting absentee this election, that you would also see an uptick in the number of people who make that indefinitely confined classification, partly because, you know, it got the numbers of voters who are voting absentee, but it got more attention this time around. And so, you know, it's hard to know. It's hard to see anything nefarious associated with that. And although the objection has been raised to the idea that there's been this increase in indefinitely confined voters, I'm not aware of any specific instances in which they're arguing that a particular voter used this in a fraudulent manner.
Talking to Robert Yablon, associate professor in the UW Law School, about Wisconsin's recount and other legal issues related to the election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Brian is with us in Port Washington. Brian, hello.
Yes, I just have a question in reference to the witness for the absentee ballots. What's the actual legality of the individuals that are doing the absentee ballots and adding the addresses for ones that were missing?
Brian, thanks for the call. We briefly started to touch on that, Rob, but can you talk about that a little more? This is one of the things being contested where somebody in the county clerk's office, say, or in the voting, who somebody's reviewing votes, can, with information, fill in the witness address, if possible. What do we know about that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, all that we have in the state statutes is that it says that if the absentee ballot is incomplete, right, that there's something missing from from the envelope, then it shouldn't be counted. But it doesn't say anything about, you know, how you correct an error that might be made. And so, you know, something that might often happen is the witness will write down their street address, but maybe they won't write down the city and the zip code. And so the practice in the state has been, since at least 2016, and I think for at least 11 elections now, that the Elections Commission has given guidance that as long as the election officials are able to figure out the information that should have been put there, right, they can look at the street address and know what the zip code was, they can fill that in. And so under the legal guidance that's been provided by the Elections Commission, that is valid. The argument that's being made here is, despite that consistent practice for a while, it nevertheless isn't consistent with the actual text of the statute.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Eli now in La Crosse. Eli, hello.
Hi, I just wanted to say that all the challenges being made to the elections, like, it's pretty obvious at this point that Biden won, and our current president is more of a media campaign disguised as a legal campaign at this point. And yes, the DOJ should investigate to prove that there wasn't any voter fraud, at least no negligible voter fraud. But at this point, all the recounts, all the lawsuits, it needs to stop, and everything needs to start, transfer of power and everything.
Eli, thanks a lot for the call. Eli makes that distinction between the media campaign and the legal effort here, Rob. And in media efforts, including the president's call to a group of Republican Pennsylvania lawmakers, large-scale claims of fraud, that hasn't been really, what we think of as fraud, hasn't really been part of a lot of the legal challenges in courtrooms, though, has it?
No, that's right. I mean, there's been a mismatch basically between some of the rhetoric that you get from the president and his allies and then what his lawyers are actually arguing in court. You know, and to make an argument in court, you need to have a good faith basis. You need to have some evidence. And they just really haven't come up with anything other than these really small scale technical issues that they're raising, not just in Wisconsin, but in other states as well. And nearly all of those lawsuits now have fizzled. The president and his lawyers have had very little success whatsoever in court.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Rob Yablon, associate professor at the UW Law School, looking at Wisconsin's recount, how it's playing out, and legal challenges to election results here and elsewhere. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of concerns about Wisconsin's election being raised by the Trump campaign during this recount? How about a lawsuit from a conservative group, saying, hey, state Supreme Court, throw out the election results, let the state legislature decide who Wisconsin's electors will be? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Rob Yablon, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School, expert on election law, looking at the state's partial recount and other legal challenges going on when it comes to the election. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Rob, I want to look at this lawsuit from a conservative group calling itself the Wisconsin Voters Alliance, asking the state Supreme Court to declare the election results in effect null and void and hand it over to the legislature the power to choose Wisconsin's electors. What's your take on that?
Well, this is a pretty radical lawsuit. Legally, it seems quite flimsy. They are making most of the same arguments that were made in the recount petition. So the ones that are currently getting worked out in that process. And so, you know, I think there are timing problems with the lawsuit. There are substantive problems with the lawsuit. There are remedial problems with it. And so I don't expect that it's going to do any better than any of the other litigation that the president had. I mean, just to point out one of the procedural problems, as I mentioned before, most of the technicalities that are being objected to now are rules that have been in practice for multiple elections now and that were known about prior to the election. And so to the extent that someone had concerns about those rules, the proper time to raise those concerns would have been before the voting started, because once people are voting in reliance on those processes and once electoral officials are relying on those processes, then a court is going to be very reluctant to allow someone to come in after the fact and throw out those votes. And that's ultimately what they're seeking. They want to nullify the votes of the 3 million plus Wisconsinites who have voted. And that really is an unprecedented remedy to be seeking.
Go back to our callers now. Laura is with us in Cudahy. Laura, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because, well, first of all, as your expert was saying, we have had years now where the rules that they're seeking to throw out have been followed. And I am from Milwaukee County. I early voted, and I'm very angry that anybody is trying to disenfranchise me and my vote. I think that the Trump campaign is grasping at straws. I was not happy with the result 4 years ago, but I accepted that Trump was president, and the people have spoken, and to put forth all of these roadblocks is just, to me, very upsetting, and I think it sets a very bad precedent.
Laura, thanks a lot for the call. Rob, talk about the precedent that Laura is worried about here.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are concerned that this is, the president's refusal to concede his continuation with these legal challenges and allegations of fraud that have been unsupported in any of the court filings, that does do some, long-term damage to our democratic system, to the norms that we rely on. You know, we thankfully have a very long tradition in this country of peaceful transitions of power, of the acceptance of the legitimacy of the winner of an election. And, to the extent that the president is stoking divisions and suggesting that the new president is not the rightfully elected leader, I mean, that just isn't healthy for our democratic system.
Thanks for that call, Laura. One outcome, one possible outcome here from the recounts and possible subsequent legal challenges would be people who vote in those categories we talked about earlier in Milwaukee and Dane County could have their votes tossed out. The other 70 counties in the state who operated under the same system would be unaffected. Is that something courts look at and worry about if they change the rules, but just for some counties in a state?
Now, the short answer is yes. I mean, I think that is going to be a major problem for the president's lawyers if they do file a lawsuit of their own after the recount concludes. You know, one of the big issues in Bush versus Gore was that there were inconsistencies county by county in the way that votes were counted or not counted. And that seems to be exactly what the president would be seeking here, because if you were in Milwaukee or Dane County and you voted using one of these methods, or you had a clerk that filled in a little bit of information on the absentee ballot envelope, that vote would be thrown out. But if you voted somewhere else in the state the exact same way, the vote would be counted. And so I think absolutely that would be a consideration for courts.
Let's go back to our callers now. Kathleen is with us in Glendale. Kathleen, hi.
Hi, how are you? My concern is the envelope for the absentee ballot. I've used that numerous times, and I always have to take it to a neighbor or to a relative to be the witness. And so nowhere does it say that it has to be the same color ink. So when I read that they were looking at the colors of ink on these absentee ballots, that bothered me. And I hope that that's not really what's happening.
Kathleen, thanks for the call. And to clarify, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Rob, it isn't the voters' information and the witnesses' information have to be in the same color ink. The Trump campaign challengers here are saying that if the, the witnesses' information, if like their name and signature are one color and their address is another color, that suggests it was completed by a clerk or election official. That's what they're trying to throw out, right?
Yeah, I think that they're looking at the different colors of ink, as you're describing, as a shorthand way to identify instances in which an elections official might have completed some of the information. You know, it is possible that they are being a little bit over-inclusive by looking at the different ink colors. You know, just to be clear, as of now, those are the ballots that they're flagging, but those arguments have been rejected. And right. As the recount proceeds, those votes still are being counted.
Thanks a lot for that call. Talking to Rob Yablon from the UW Law School, looking at Wisconsin's recount and other election issues related to the law. Molly joins us next in Madison. Molly, hi.
Hi. I have been working the recount in Dane County, and it's been very interesting and informative. But I think two things I'm wondering if Professor Yablon can get to is, a lot of the focus is on the absentee ballots, and there's a lot of information required on that. But as I understand it, voter fraud really requires some indication that the voter has intentionally done something illegal. And as I understand it, case law looks at what the voter's intention was when they filed their ballot, and that a lot of what's on the envelopes and signatures of clerks on ballots is all election process stuff that doesn't really relate to what the voter may have intended or not intended.
Molly, thanks for the call. Process versus the accusation of fraud, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she's drawing some of the right lines there. You know, there have been very few indications of any fraudulent activity. I don't think that there are many objections being made during the recount process that are fraud related. In other words, that the voter was maybe unknowingly ineligible or something like that. Instead, they are objecting to these technical defects. And the caller is right that when you're looking at the ballot itself, what you're actually thinking about is what was the voter's intent. And so, you know, when we look at ballots, sometimes there might be some technical problem with the ballot. Like maybe you had someone that filled in a bubble for one of the two presidential candidates and then also wrote in their name. And so the machine might not have counted that ballot, but you can look at that ballot and the voter's intent will be quite clear. And so, you know, my understanding is that as they're going through and doing the recount, those kinds of votes are, in fact, counted.
Thanks for the call. Time for another caller. Kurt is on the line in Watertown. Kurt, hi.
Hi. Well, it's odd that I'm on the phone. I guess I really want to say that I feel optimistic based on what's happening now. I think it shows that the system is working, and it doesn't matter what kind of chaos is happening at the top. I really do believe if you hire crazy, you get crazy. So we can, you know, that's a lesson that we'll learn down the road too. What can possibly go wrong when people say, well, what's it matter who I vote for? Now they can see what happens if you pick somebody that's creating an entertainment show at the top.
Kurt, thanks for the call. Just a minute or so left, Rob, but Kurt's initial point, he's optimistic the system is being tested by the current president and his campaign, and Kurt says it looks like it worked pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's a silver lining here, it is that the system has been scrutinized maybe like never before, and people are getting educated about some of the minutiae of the electoral process, and they're seeing that actually it does work, and that there really are safeguards in place that despite, you know, just sort of allegations of fraud, when you dig in a little bit deeper, you don't see it. And so for many people, I hope that this does end up being a confidence building exercise, although my fear is that there will be some who continue to stoke those tensions, still make allegations of fraud. And so the challenge now is to try to convince some of those folks that really this is a legitimate result. Sometimes in a democracy you win, sometimes you lose, but you come back and you try again next time.
Good place to leave it. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Good to be with you.
Robert Yablon is an associate professor in the UW Law School and an expert on election law. He talked with us today about Wisconsin's ongoing partial recount and a lawsuit that's seeking to throw out the state's election results.